Please turn to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice," for they came and held them by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Having already experienced the events of the previous week, these ladies are filled with fear and anxiety. Their hearts were already heavy and troubled over the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. They became even more troubled at the sights that met them as they approached the tomb. Simply put, the message of the resurrection is, stay calm, have faith, and do not be troubled or anxious. We can experience calm, peace, and rest through any situation, through all circumstances that we face in life, because of the resurrection. Why? Because the resurrection of Christ from the dead proves that God Almighty is sovereign and he is in absolute control. There is nothing out of the Father's hand. He's sovereign and he is in absolute control no matter what we face. If he can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, then there's nothing that God cannot do. Look at Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." That's exactly what it means. Nothing, no thing will be impossible. Luke 18:27. "But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The sovereign one who rules over even death, the one that we call Father now, is in absolute control of everything. And he's using everything for his glory, for his namesake. A God that powerful knows how to give peace to his children, in spite of the circumstances in which they would find themselves. There's a reason why the saints were able to go into the Colosseum to be slaughtered, singing praises. They knew their God was sovereign. Look at John 14:27. Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a promise. Do not let your heart be troubled. In a world that's all you hear of every single day, turn on the radio, the television, the internet, just talk to somebody. And it's just trouble, anxiousness, concern. And our Lord says that He is in charge. He is sovereign over all the circumstances. The message of the resurrection should give you courage. It should instill courage in your heart because even death has been defeated. That is the greatest fear of all men and women. 1 Corinthians 15 now tells us this. 1 Corinthians 15:53-57. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Have you ever really meditated on the power of those words? This corruptible, that's only known sin, is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. I mean the depth of that statement. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, not if, when, this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The thing that men and women are most fearful of is death. Christ says, is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. He's even overcome death. That's why the angel could tell the women, do not be afraid. And then Christ says to them, do not be afraid. The scripture says to you, do not be afraid. Fear is such a horrible thing. It just grows on you. It's like a cloud that just hovers overhead. Just brings the feeling of fear. This resurrection should bring us to a place that we have courage. Why? Because the one that was resurrected, he lives, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. Do you really believe what Hebrews 7 says? Hebrews 7:25 tells us this. This is why you need not fear. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him. You doubt your salvation? He's able to save to the uttermost. You don't think you're going to make it? He's able to save for the uttermost who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Could you imagine what it would do if you walked over by the door to the kitchen and heard Jesus Christ praying for you by your name? See, and you would be like, wow! Why? Because you can see that. But him sitting next to the Father is no less real than what I just described to you. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is personally interceding for you? And it says he always lives. He lives for that very purpose, to make intercession for those that he has saved. And he tells you in Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How much do you need to hear that when you're facing the trials and the tribulations of life? I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can be confident of the command in our text, to fear not. It should fill our hearts with confidence, because Christ always keeps his word. He's not a man that he should lie. God hasn't lied. His promises are real and they're certain, and his words are true, and we can count on them. He will do exactly what the scripture says. He said he was going to be raised on the third day, didn't he? And he was raised on the third day, just like he said. Every promise that he's made is a promise that he can keep and that he will keep. They mocked him. Oh, you're going to rebuild this temple in 3 days, huh? Knock it down. You're going to rebuild it. It will meet all of your needs. What does Philippians 4:19 tell us? It said all of his promises are yes and amen. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will supply all you need. He will keep you safe. Look at 1 Peter 1. He has promised to keep you safe. And he's promised to give you a hope. I remember when I wasn't saved, I had no hope. No hope. And now he's given us a hope. And it's a lively hope. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. That's, you've been born again, regenerated, begotten us again to what? A living hope. And how is that accomplished? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That empty tomb says to you, you have a living hope. You don't have to live like the world. You don't have to doubt and fear and live like the world lives. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. That's what's awaiting you, brother and sister. And that does not fade away, and is reserved in heaven for you. That's why even it says about death, where is your sting? All that is an entryway to that, undefiled, incorruptible, inheritance reserved in heaven. And why can you be sure of that? Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. You were saved by the power of God. You're sanctified by the power of God. And you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. All of his promises are yes and amen. He will meet your needs. He has promised you in John 14, once again, the resurrection, the empty tomb, is to give you great faith. John 14 tells us this. Let not your heart be troubled. What I say about in the text, it's saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Christ is telling us in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If you're a child of God, put your name in there. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I mean, what kind of man speaks like this? I'm going to come back for you. Where I am, you're going to be. Where I am, there you may be also. What promises? And the proof that he fulfills his promises is the very proof of the empty tomb. He predicted that he would be crucified, that he would die, and he would be raised from the dead. Also, once again, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. by the promise. This is a day of promises. I ain't going to give you a chocolate bunny or an Easter egg. I'm going to give you a basket full of promises.
Thank you.
You're welcome, brother. The resurrection gives us our hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Excuse me. Then the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What a promise. When you look at this world and you look at everything going on around you, you look at your own self, what you experience, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the hope that we have, brothers and sisters. When you look at that empty tomb, that's the hope that you have. Now Matthew tells us in 28:6, go back there, the lively hope that we have. Matthew 28:6 tells us this. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. That is an invitation to examine the claims of the Scripture, to examine the claim of the resurrected Lord. Come and see. Start in Genesis, come to the Scripture, and see what God Almighty has revealed from Genesis to Revelation. Come and examine. Come and see. Come and see. An invitation by Almighty God. Come and examine the claims of the resurrection. If you examine the claims of the resurrection, you'll find out they've been examined by the greatest minds for 2,000 years. And there's no other explanation they come up with but that Christ did just as he had promised. Turn to John 10:17-18. Therefore my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. He said that when he was alive. My Father loves me because I laid down my life so that for this reason that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. Don't worry, it wasn't the Jews and it wasn't the Romans and it wasn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down on myself. Like I said, what man ever spoke like this? No mere man, no mere mortal says words like that. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Come, examine. Come, investigate. Not only did the angel invite an examination, the angel also invited us to experience Christ. Turn back to our text in Matthew. Come, see the place where Christ lies. That little word, see, means to know. Christ wants you to experience him, to know him. And the question is today, are you experiencing Jesus Christ, or do you simply know about him? Do you experience him personally? Do you walk with him? Does he talk with you? Do you talk to him? Or is it just, I got a religion? I know him, I know some truths about him. This ain't I know that Abraham Lincoln was the president. This is you are experiencing life with a person. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Knowing him, experiencing him. It's not enough to just know the facts. This ain't Joe Friday, just the facts, man. Now you really know the old timers here. It's not just knowing the facts. You have to know the Lord intimately. That's where the Holy Spirit brings you into an intimate relationship with them day in and day out. Not just, I know him on Sunday mornings and bye-bye, shalom, hallelujah, I'll see you next Sunday. This is to know, like I know my wife intimately, day to day we grow for 30-something years, knowing each other more and more day by day. Come and see. Come and see and know the Lord. And why? Why the cross? Why the resurrection? Turn to Romans 5. This is why. As you heard me say many times, you know, a lot of people think, born again, the Lord has straightened out all my problems. He may straighten out some of them, but death and burial and resurrection, there was a reason for it. And this is the reason for it. Romans 5. Starting at verse 1 through verse 10. Why? Why a bloody cross? Why a sacrifice? Why has he got to die? Why has he got to be raised from the dead? Why all of this blood and gore and horror and terror? This is why. Romans 5, 1 to 10. Therefore, having been justified by faith, notice, having been, past tense, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only way you're ever going to have peace is peace nowhere else, in no other name, no way, no how. You want peace? You don't have peace? You haven't been justified by faith. Or if you have been justified by faith and you don't have peace, you don't believe that you've been justified by faith. You're trying to justify yourself some other way. To whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access. You have access to the very throne room of God. Just as I said before, if you went into the kitchen, you'd have access there. If Christ was in there praying, you would say, oh, wow, this is unbelievable. Well, you have access to the throne room of glory. God the Father's in there. Jesus Christ's in there. You have access. And not only that, the resurrection, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now you talk about totally different than the world. Tribulation is bad, according to the world. But the Bible says that tribulation is good. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Tribulation produces perseverance. All the pain, all the heartache, all of that is to produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. What we're talking about, hope. You have hope because the grave is the tomb is empty. He's risen. And our hope, it doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See what I was saying to you about this is knowing God in an intimate way. Knowing the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I know my wife loves me, but I know God Almighty loves me even more. Because I experience that love, That's what I'm saying to you. Being born again, regenerated, this is a relationship with God. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. And when did that take place? Why the resurrection? This is why. Life, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection. From 6 to 10. For when we were still without strength, you had no strength when you were dead in your sins. No strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. Not the godly, the ungodly. No strength, ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But once again, God demonstrates his own love. Notice, love. The love of God. People talk about the love of God all the time. What kind of love are we talking about? He demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners. Without strength, ungodly sinners. There's your qualification so far, 3. Notice, Christ died for us. Why the crucifixion? Atonement had to be made. Payment had to be made. Much more than, verse 9, much more than, once again, heaven now. Not in the by and by, hopefully. Much more than having now been justified. How? By his blood. That's why Good Friday is good for a Christian. Having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. What a contrast. The love of God and the wrath of God. Do you really even begin to comprehend that? How much he loves his people and how much he hates the wicked. And don't think he doesn't hate the wicked, because the scripture clearly says that he does. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Why the crucifixion? We were reconciled to God. The only way that he could justify you was to bring you by the death of his son. Being reconciled through the death of his son, much more. We shall be reconciled. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not your life, your promises, your vows, you pulling up your bootstraps, you doing something. You're saved by the life of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the Mosaic law perfectly. Died on the cross, his blood was shed, therefore we've been justified. Why the cross? That's why. But then here's the reason for the resurrection. Yeah, in Romans 5, look at Romans 4, the last three verses, 23 to 25 in Romans 4. I showed you the reason for the crucifixion, in case you wasn't here last week. This is the reason for the resurrection, 23 to 25. Romans 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone, the chapter had been talking about Abraham, that he was justified by faith. Now it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, righteousness given to him simply by faith. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us. Just like your bank, if you went and made a deposit yesterday, they imputed that to your account. That's what imputed means, counted. It wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Notice very 25, very closely. Who was delivered up because of our offenses. There's the crucifixion. He was delivered up because of our offenses. And this is mind-blowing. And he was raised because of our justification. He was raised from the dead because God said he is pleased with the atonement that he has made for his people. He came out of that tomb because you are justified. That's why he came out of that tomb. And once again, in Matthew 28, not only are we to see and know, turn back there, we're getting close to closing here. Matthew 28, not only are we to see and know, we're to come, we're to see, we're to know. Notice verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples. Go and tell. And the question is, are we living as though our Lord is risen and living within us? Because the resurrection calls us to action. It calls us to engage in the work of the Lord. Go and tell. Come, see, and now go and tell. Go and tell the good news. Go quickly and tell without delay. Come, see, go, tell. Why? Because people are dying. People are going to hell. That's why. Because 2 Corinthians says the God of this world has deceived the world. Your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, your neighbors, your co-workers, and everybody else. They're going to hell. And Christ is like, go and tell people the good news. Live your life caring about others, as we saw in the life of Judah. He finally matured and was more worried about everybody else than himself. That's when we start maturing, when we're worried about everybody else. Go and tell. Why? Because that's the world's only hope. So often we think, oh, if that person could just get out of that jam. The biggest jam is that they're condemned by Almighty God. It's not that they got no money, they're sick, they lost their job, their dog died, they're in the hospital, they're in the jail, their family, their wife left, the kids left. That ain't men and women's biggest problem. Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross. That's how serious this is, brothers and sisters. And we're just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, is the game coming on yet? The gospel is a message that brings hope to all who hear it and receive it by faith. And also in our text, we see that the Lord proceeds and he presents himself. Closing with Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Like I said, what kind of man speaks like this? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, you saw last week the reason for the crucifixion. I touched on it today. The reason for the resurrection. He was raised for our justification. Now come and see, taste, and go and tell. And Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for the gospel. For if we look at the law, all we see is that we're sinners. If we go to the law to try to be justified, it tells us we're sinners. But yet the good news is that Christ took our sin upon him. That he became sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God. How glorious is that good news? He becomes sin and we become the righteousness of God. And Father, I would pray you stir up our hearts and our minds and our souls that we would see the seriousness of this. This is not a game. This is eternal life. And where will people spend that eternity? And Father, we thank you. And we praise you. And Father, I would pray if any is listening today that has never come to Christ, that today, even as the thief on the cross came, the last day of his life, he asked Christ to have mercy upon him, that he would remember him when he came into his kingdom. Well, Christ is in his kingdom. And he said, whosoever will come, all ye that are wearied and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. And I would pray if that be anybody's condition, that they would come and taste and see. And Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you loved us with such a love.